First of all, let me say thank you so much to everybody who took the time out to listen to the podcast I put out a couple of days ago. And if you did, then you know that the end of the podcast got cut off. Yes, my podcast did the job to technology. Somehow, the back end of the file got deleted in its transfer from GarageBand to being uploaded to SoundCloud and Anchor. And so the podcast cut off as I was getting ready to give you my top five things for you to watch while you're locked down during the coronavirus quarantine 2020, baby. So I'm going to pick up that list for you right now so you can, you know, effectively get the end of the show that I was trying to give you before. I'm going to give you my top five, but I'm also, before I get into that, I want to talk about a podcast, another podcast that I heard this past week that I just really feels relevant to talk about. So, as you know, the Podfather, Conrad Thompson, has about 400 podcasts, and they're all very good. One that I listen to consistently is 83 Weeks with Eric Bischoff. I'm a television producer, and I get so much knowledge of, you know, the business side of TV from listening to Eric Bischoff talk. And so I really enjoy that podcast for a lot of reasons. Also, you know, full disclosure, I grew up in rural North Carolina. So I grew up on the NWA, which became WCW. So during the Monday Night Wars, I was a Nitro guy up until they made Sting join the Wolfpack. And then I was like, I'm over this. Anyway, so this past week, the episode of 83 Weeks focused on TNA Lockdown from 2010. And they did a good job breaking down the show. You know, Bischoff did a lot of talking about just, you know, little things from his perspective, how he, you know, came into TNA initially just to kind of protect Hulk Hogan from some bad booking, you know, kind of as a, you know, a little bit of a buffer, right? Like, he wasn't really a creative team member, but he had proxy to speak for Hulk Hogan, you know, when it came to, you know, booking decisions, right? Like, this is a way of making sure Hulk Hogan didn't end up wearing the Feast or Fire turkey suit or, you know, something like, not Feast or Fire, but, you know, when they do that turkey suit thing every year, you know, ways to protect him from stupid things like that. And so, you know, he talked about that, and one of the things that he did once he actually did get some influence was he had TNA switch from the six-sided ring to the four-sided ring. And, you know, he goes on and talking about how when he asked people in charge, why are we doing this six-sided ring? What's the purpose of this? And the best explanation they could give him is because it looks different when flipping channels. You know, he thought that was just the stupidest thing ever. I think there's some logic to that, but I can also understand why that's not that strong of an answer. So, I mean, listen, there's logic on both sides. I totally get that. But about the show itself, there's a lot of things that, you know, they really talked about that they really liked about this show, which I'll get into a little bit more later. One of the things I really love, though, that Conrad does, you know, is the basic format of the show, for anybody who hasn't been listening to any of the Conrad shows, is he'll basically say, here's what the news reports, the dirt sheets, said about this particular moment in time. You were there. Tell us what really happened, right? That's the basic format of all his shows. And it's really good. It's a really good format because, you know, many of the people who are listening to right now are what I would call the dirt sheet generation. See, I never grew up listening to those things or reading those things or any of that stuff. It just wasn't part of my world. Like, I had no idea about any of that stuff. You know, like I said, I grew up in rural North Carolina, so wrestling was just like part of life. You know what I mean? Like, you just watched wrestling. It was just something you did. And, you know, later on, you know, I would come to find out, and especially now, like, goodness gracious, I would say this whole generation of wrestling fans pretty much came up, you know, reading the Dave Meltzers and Wade Kellers of the world. And, you know, that has really affected the way that you look at wrestling, right? Like, I never heard anybody complain about announcers until I started hearing, you know, the reports of, hey, Meltzer said this, right? So I get it, right? Like, it, that gives me a better understanding of the way you guys look at wrestling, right? Like, your obsession with work rates and things, stupid things like that. Things, to me, that are stupid. Like, those things, I don't care about those things. But, you know, whatever, right? That's how, that's part of the lens through which you learn to watch wrestling. So, I get that. I respect it. It's different. Everybody's got a different perspective. I totally respect that. So, whatever, right? You know, they talked about all of that stuff. And one of the things that really, you know, kind of hit home to me is, you know, Conrad talked about how, you know, a lot of people are, he makes the comment, he used this comment a couple of times, you know, a lot of people are, you know, LOL TNA, but there's a lot of great stuff here. And that really reinforced so much of what I feel and what I know a lot of people feel about Impact Wrestling, TNA, whatever it is you want to say. And the more I read stuff from people who post, you know, who have TNA podcast or TNA blogs or, you know, anything that covers Impact Wrestling, their general feeling is, hey, I started doing this because I didn't feel that the coverage for Impact was fair. And so I wanted to give a non-biased look at Impact Wrestling, right? And so a lot of people feel that way. And like me too, right? That's why I started doing this. So I totally get that. But to hear it from, you know, Conrad, right, who's in the cycle, right? He's in the economy of the big wrestling fans world, right? Like he's a somebody now. He's somebody people listen to. And just to hear him kind of, you know, validate that was very interesting, right? So like, you know, if you've been looking at this whole thing, you know, the way that TNA gets covered and saying, man, you know, I feel like they're getting a bad rap here. Like, yeah, they've had some, you know, some corny stuff or some poorly presented stuff, some bad matches, some bad wrestlers, whatever. But who hasn't, right? Like any bad thing you can say about TNA, pretty much, you can say about WWE. And it always struck me that when it came to TNA, and in the minds and eyes of many of the fans, these things seemed unforgivable. But many of the same things that you would see, again, for WWE, you know, you talk about it, you complain about it, but it's okay, I'm still going to show it up next week, right? But for some reason, these are the things that make TNA unwatchable, right? Like bad booking, you know, some people, if they see something bad, it's like, oh, TNA booking, LOL TNA, And again, I just, like, to me, it just doesn't make sense because it's just not consistent. Right? It's not consistent. If those things make TNA unwatchable, they should make WWE unwatchable. So to me, it was good and interesting to hear, you know, Conrad kind of, you know, reinforce that same thing that I've been seeing and that so many of you have seen about, you know, Impact Wrestling and its history and the way it's been kind of talked about in the, I guess, internet wrestling community. Another term I hate to use, but it's a thing. So one of the things that Bischoff said during the show that, you know, really kind of stuck with me is he just really talked about how, like once he got into a place of comfortably talking about it, because once again, typically when people would talk about TNA, the tone is, oh man, that was some crap. What bad thing do you want to say about TNA? How bad was Dixie? Tell us how screwed up it was. How bad was Russo? Didn't they blow it, right? That's just the typical tone of any time somebody is talking about TNA. So to hear Bischoff just kind of, again, he's mentioned like TNA blew such an opportunity. But it was good to hear him talk about it from a logical business point of view. Like he talked about, you know, all the money that Spike TV spent to make the production look better and to bring in, you know, big personalities like Hogan and like Bischoff and to help them start touring, you know, things like that. It makes so much more sense and it gives you real insight into what actually kind of, you know, was the downfall. And I definitely want to hear more of the insight, because to me, I am curious, like, you know, I paid attention to the lawsuit. I followed that pretty closely when, you know, Billy Corgan sued Dixie Carter and TNA and all of their various LLCs and corporate names for possession of the company. And I saw, you know, a lot of things that came out in those documents. Shout out to Mike Johnson from PW Insider. He by far had the best coverage of that whole situation. And when you started seeing some of the stuff that was in those documents, you got to see just how foul of a business person Dixie Carter was, how many people she didn't pay, how many people she screwed over, how badly she was managing that business. And so from that perspective, you get how they went from doing arenas, you know, being in business on Spike and doing, you know, a million viewers a week to where they are now. And speaking of you know, doing a million viewers on Spike, that's another thing that just really stood out during that conversation between Conrad and Eric Bischoff is, you know, today we pay attention each and every Thursday for the ratings that come out between AEW and NXT. And consistently, you know, they're between 700,000 and 900 and some change, right? Meanwhile, 10 years ago, TNA was consistently pulling down a million plus week after week on Spike TV. And all people could talk about is, why isn't it growing? You know, why isn't this good enough? And today, AEW and NXT would cut off their arm for a million viewers live every week. So it's just funny how we don't have perspective about, you know, what we appreciate, what we don't appreciate, what's hard to accomplish in the wrestling business and what isn't. And that was just a great look back at some of that stuff. So if you get a chance, you know, it's worth going out of your way. If you're an Impact fan, if you're listening to this, you probably are an Impact fan. So it's definitely worth going out of your way to listen to 83 Weeks that talks about TNA Lockdown. This week, find it wherever you find podcasts. Again, shout out to Conrad Thompson. Shout out to Eric Bischoff. That's a great show. I really do enjoy it. And I think you, as an Impact fan, would enjoy it too. So it's worth going out of your way to listen. All right. Back to where I was, where we got cut off so unceremoniously, where we did the JOB to technology on the podcast I released a couple of days ago. I was trying to give you my top five things to watch on Impact Plus during the coronavirus quarantine 2020, baby. That's what we're in right now. You know, a lot of us are stuck in our house. Some people get out sometimes. Some people don't get out that much. Some people are there with your families. God help you. Some people are there by yourself. Also, God help you. But it's, you know, it's an interesting situation for a lot of people. And for those of you who have Impact Plus, you know, here's just a couple of things that I think are good watches. Now, just to clarify, this is not my top five list of top five things to watch on all of Impact Plus. This is not my list of the top five best things on Impact Plus. This isn't any sort of ranking in particular. This is just five things that I think are good watches that you'll all enjoy. If you get a chance to watch these things, let me know. Talk to me about it. Hit me at TW Talking About on Twitter or at Talking About Pod, or you can, you know, drop your comments in any of the links that I drop this podcast under on, you know, Facebook or Twitter or anything else. All right, so here we go. Number five, in honor of the podcast with Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson, I'm going to say the first thing that I'm going to recommend you watch is Lockdown 2010. Now, this was a really good show. And for those of you who, you know, subscribe to your Lord and Savior, Dave Meltzer, there's a match on here between Kurt Angle and Mr. Anderson that Meltzer gave, I think, 4.5 stars. So, you know, it's an interesting concept, right? Doing a match during a show where every single match is a cage match. To me, that takes away the novelty of the cage match. If every match is a cage match, no match is a cage match, right? So, you know, that's just the interesting concept to me about doing, you know, every match inside the cage for being the theme of Lockdown. To me, it would make much more sense if you had one big cage match you were building to, or maybe two big cage matches you were building to. But to have every match inside the cage takes away takes away the novelty of it for me a little bit. But one of the great things you see when you watch this show is, you know, they were doing a really good crowd here, man. This is, you know, it looks about half of a smallish arena. It really about the same size arenas that AEW does now. There's probably about, gosh, I'm sure you can look up the attendance number somewhere, but there looks to be about, you know, 2,500, 3,000, maybe even 5,000 people here. You can see that the arena is kind of cut off where they've moved all the fans onto the side facing the hard camera. And on the hard camera side, there's no fans. But again, it still looks good. And you can tell that what they did is they put lighting on the side where all the fans are. And on the hard camera side, it's dark. But there's still around ringside. They still sat fans all around. To me, this is a smart setup. This makes so much sense. Again, don't shoot. WWE does this today. When they draw poor houses for SmackDown and Raw, they just move all the fans to one side of the arena and around the ring, and they just make sure they don't shoot the side where the hard camera is and no fans are. I wish Impact would do this today because, again, one of the things that I really don't like is it often looks like there's no fans. And if you show fans, if you can hear fans, it will make fans come. Like, that's just the way that works, right? People want to go where they see people enjoying themselves and having a good time. So, Lockdown 2010 is going to be number one on my list of things to watch on Impact Plus. Number two, Unfinished Business, Bound for Glory Series 2013. Now, you got to search for this just a little bit. You got to look down through the, you know, TNA, you know, in-ring original series, you know, something like that. You got to dig for it a little bit. But there's a section called Unfinished Business, and there's a bunch of different titles, and one of them is the Bound for Glory Series 2013. Now, on this show, what you're going to find is it's basically an episode of Impact Wrestling from 2013. It's the episode that was right before Bound for Glory 2013. And on this episode, you're going to see the finals of the Bound for Glory series. It's AJ Styles versus Austin Aries. They have a banger of a match. It's Bobby Roode versus Magnus. They have another good match. Then you're also going to see Bully Ray versus Mr. Anderson. And it was like a feud. It was like infighting amongst the Aces and Eights. And then you're going to see the finals of the Bound for Glory series with AJ Styles versus Magnus. And these are all really good matches. So that's definitely an enjoyable watch. If you like good wrestling, you will love that. You know, if you like good storytelling, you can see, even not necessarily following, not necessarily following what the stories were at the time, you will be able to see, like just by watching this, you'll be able to see what the stories were that were playing out at that time. And the way it plays out on these shows was really good. So that's my number two pick, Unfinished Business, Bound for Glory Series 2013. And my number three pick is Bound for Glory 2013. Now, why did I pick this? I picked this show because to me, this was TNA at its apex, right? This was, I would say, this was the peak point right before the wheels came off and it really, really, really started to go downhill. In this show, the main event of the show, we get AJ Styles versus Bully Ray for the TNA World Championship. And this is the culmination of two big storylines. This is the culmination of the Aces and Eights storyline, pretty much, right? Aces and Eights basically took over TNA TV for about a year or so. You know, the whole storyline of first the fact that there is an Aces and Eights, then Aces and Eights terrorizing the roster, you know, slowly revealing the individual members of Aces and Eights, then the big swerve with Bully Ray becoming the leader of Aces and Eights, Bully Ray becoming the world champion, and, you know, having the whole thing with Brooke Hogan and Hulk Hogan and all of that stuff. And it really, it was a really good storyline, right? And then you couple that with AJ Styles' character transformation. They did the Claire Lynch angle, which was stupid but good. Like, it served its purpose. It served its purpose perfectly, right? Again, the Claire Lynch storyline was stupid. It was one of those things that, to me, was so bad it was good, right? Like, I enjoyed it. Go back, look it up. To me, it's funny. It's bad acting. It's wrestling. It's good stuff, man. I love it. And that led to AJ being off TV for a little while. And it's kind of similar to what happened with Sting and the NWO. When I saw this actually playing out, you know, I said that this was Eric Bischoff doing his best to recreate the NWO angle, you know, with the Aces and Eights. And what made that NWO angle so hot was when it caused Sting, who was, you know, the stalwart, the established top babyface for a long time, it caused him to go through a character change. And so this was the same thing that was happening right here with AJ Styles, you know, TNA's homegrown character, right? So you had both of these stories culminating at the same time in this pay-per-view, right? Lots of emotion, lots of drama, lots of story. Now, here's where this was a representation of the bad of TNA. You were building this great storyline with AJ, and you were presenting him as a top guy, and this is going to be his crowning moment as the top guy. The problem is, he was coming to the end of his contract in real life, and you allowed this storyline to spill over onto TV. Now, I get it. You know, we live in the dirt sheet era. This stuff was leaking out anyway, but you allowed this to spill over onto TV. And again, based on the era that we live in, some part of that is uncontrollable. Here's the problem. If you're going to allow real life to spill over into TV, and you are building everything around this star, around your homegrown babyface superstar, your flag bearer, right? And this was kind of the crowning moment for him. You got to get the damn contract done. So they did all of this. They had this great moment, this great pay-per-view, this great match. AJ Styles defeats Bully Ray to become the TNA World Champion. And they never got the contract done. So what would play out in the weeks following on TNA TV was, you know, you would see this was kind of the evil promoter Dixie Carter character, and she was going to be the antagonist to AJ Styles, but when they didn't get a contract done, he had to leave for real. So, I mean, to me, this was just like, you know, this was one of those things where this was just the bad TNA to me. Like, you had your real life spilling over into TV. You spent all this time, all this TV time, all this promotional time making AJ this big conquering babyface who took out the villains that were terrorizing the show for the past year, and now you don't have him. And so that was just reflective of the type of things that would continue to plague TNA for the next few months until, you know, the day that TNA died, in my opinion, when Spike TV announced that it was canceling Impact Wrestling. But for now, go back to the happier time and watch Bound for Glory 2013. All right, number four. My number four thing to watch on Impact Plus is Taya Valkyrie versus Jordynne Grace from Bash at the Brewery 2. This is on Impact Plus. I believe this was a Twitch special, maybe. This took place 2 days before Hard to Kill. And this match in particular was just awesome. It was just an awesome brawl. Taya and Jordynne, they brawled all over this brewery. They were getting beer from the fans. There was one part in the ring where one part of the match where they're sitting down with chairs facing each other in the ring. They're taking drinks of beer and just slugging at each other. And it was just a really, really great match, man. It was a great match that I really enjoyed. I think you guys will enjoy this match too. That's my number four thing to watch. And my number five thing to watch on Impact Plus is The Diary Tessa Blanchard, which takes place of her day at Hard to Kill. This was interesting to me, if no other reason. You know, this was supposed to be a huge moment for Impact Wrestling. This was them taking a huge gamble, putting the world title on a woman. This was, you know, supposed to be a history-making, news-making event. And it all just, you know, it all got pissed on. You know, it all got pissed on because of, you know, her own past coming back to haunt her. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into trying to talk about who's, you know, who's right and who's wrong here, none of that. But this is really just more of an instance of the bad luck that has been facing this company, even under the current regime. You know, you take two steps forward, you take two steps back, and you're stuck kind of in the same place. Here you had this big, this big title change, right, which was just, you know, it was noticeable. It was notable. It was a big, big thing. But given the rest of the news that was going to come out, listen, if you did a Twitter search for Tessa Blanchard around the weekend of Hard to Kill, the first thing that comes up was not going to be Tessa wins the title of Hard to Kill. It was going to be all the tweets from Allison Kay and everybody else that were talking about the things in Tessa's past. And so no one could cover it. Right? Like Sports Illustrated wasn't going to come out and do this glowing article on Tessa Blanchard and how is she going to proceed as the world champion going forward when, if you search her name on Twitter, all the tweets that are going to come up are going to be really, really, really negative. So it was interesting to see how everyone was treating her, you know, backstage, you know, trying to help her kind of get through it and deal with it. And how the company was, you know, just kind of dealing with it. And, you know, if you look at the way Impact has kind of handled it, they've just gone forward. You know, they've kind of tried to act like nothing happened. And, you know, they've talked about haters and stuff like that. To me, that was the total wrong way to handle it. But again, you'll see that they still tried to, you know, make lemonade out of lemons, out of Hard to Kill. And it was, listen, it was an interesting watch. It was an interesting watch, you know, to see how some of the talent was interacting with her backstage and, you know, some of the things that she was going through, just trying to focus on her big moment that was coming up. So to me, that was definitely a worthy watch. But let me know what you think. I want to hear what you guys think. You know, drop me a comment. You know, send me some tweets. Let me know what you guys think. All right. That's my show. That's all I got for you. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please share this. If you got this link on Facebook or anywhere else, you know, drop a comment underneath. Let me know what you think. Let's keep this discussion going. Share it with somebody else. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Go to iTunes. Like, comment, rate, subscribe. Drop me a review. If you think I'm an idiot, tell me I'm an idiot. But you should go ahead and drop a 5-star rating. You know what I mean? Help people out. If you like the show, if you like what you hear, then you want to throw me a little love, you can go to the SoundCloud page and there is a PayPal link where you can just show your boy some love. You know what I'm saying? Provide you a little bit of entertainment during this here quarantine. All right. Thank you guys again so much for listening. I'll be back with another episode soon. BQ and myself are going to be dropping some Impact reviews for you coming up. It's going to be a good, good time. It's going to be a good, good listening. And I can't wait to bring it to you. So thank you guys once again for checking out this show. And I'll talk to you soon. I'm getting buckets like a shooter, I could dunk it. Call me Thomas Legend Drummond. Yo, I'm on the shoot, yeah, I knew it. Got the Nikes on my feet, yeah, I do it. And the that we smoke, yeah, we grew it. I don't ever knock on the door, I break through it. Yeah, yeah. I don't wanna kiss you, let's just keep it simple. I don't fall in love, I just keep it simple. I just wanna fold, let's just keep it simple. Money going up, I just keep it simple. I don't wanna kiss you, let's just keep it simple. I don't fall in love, I just keep it simple.